like to discuss a recent paper by Linda Nazar from University, a battery with a sulfur cathode. Linda Nazar is famous in this field. She has caused a renaissance in this field. So her most recent work in this area, material to this sulfur cathode is material because it's very cheap. Its theoretical capacity is 10 times higher than commercial cathode. It stands at around 1670. However, the problem with the sulfur cathode is that it's electronically insulating as well as ionically insulating. So the cathode has to be, the sulfur active material has to be mixed with in part electronic conductivity. So typically what is common is for people to carbon hosts for the sequestration of sulfur. In addition to these conductivity issues, sulfur always suffers from intermediates, sulfur intermediates, which are called polysulfides, which are basically salts, lithium salts, which are very soluble in the liquid. On cycling, you have rapid decay in capacity because these soluble intermediates form and migrate away from the current collector on the cathode side into the bulk of the electrolyte. And so she proposes here a new material, which is a magnesium boride, MgB2, which serves two purposes. One is to impart electronic conductivity to the material, which has also done before with carbons. In addition to that, it provides a strong adhesion to the polysulfides. According to this, adhesion imparts longer cycle life due to trapping of these polysulfides on the cathode. The same group, Nazar's group, along with other groups, have proposed after the first wave of carbon matrices for sulfur, they have proposed various oxides or metallic materials such as Ti407, MoS2, or TiN. This type of materials offer some sort of inherent bonding with the polysulfides, which inhibits their release. However, they have high density. So compared to carbon, which has a density about 2, materials have densities close to 5. So they add a lot of weight to the battery. However, the magnesium boride material, which is proposed here, while maintaining this strong affinity for polysulfides, it also has a low density of 2.5 or 2.6, which is close to the density of carbon. So this is a very neat material, I think. It has been proposed in the past for electronic conductivity at lower temperatures. Room temperature is very high conductivity electronically. So it provides these two attributes. It has these two attributes which are necessary for a sulfur cathode, which is to impart electronic conductivity and also to bond to these soluble intermediates called polysulf. So what she does is a vapor solid reaction of above the melting point of magnesium, which is very high melting point, 1000 degrees Celsius. So it's an expensive reaction between magnesium and some source of boron. And you end up with this MgB2 material mixed in with some carbon. There's some carbon present there, 20%. In the paper, it is mentioned that the MgB2 absorbs 20 times more of the polysulfides than carbon does. A certain type of carbon called Vulcan carbon, and they actually measure the distances between the sulfur and boron bond and sulfur magnesium bond, which are quite small distances, 1.89 angstroms and 1.68 angstroms. So as far as batteries, she tests some batteries with pretty low loadings, which is typical for this type of 2 mg/cm², but towards the end she also proposed or reports batteries with higher loadings, such as 9 mg/cm². All in all, there are two types of magnesium boride presented. One is low surface area material, which is about 29 meters squared per gram surface area, and a high surface area material of about of over 100 meters squared per gram. And this type of transition in the material is quite simple. It's an ultrasonication procedure of the magnesium boride nanopowder with graphene in an isopropanol solvent, and you end up with layers, basically sandwiches of graphene and magnesium boride, which increases the surface area. This type of high surface area material can load more sulfur, 75% sulfur. So this is the active material that is used in preparing cathodes. So cathodes are prepared the typical way, 8:1:1 ratio, 80% active material, which is magnesium boride sulfur composite, high surface area with graphene, which contains 75% sulfur, 10% Super P, which is an electronic additive typically used in batteries, and a binder, which is a polymer called PVDF, which is commonly used in foods. The solvent is unique for Lindanazar. Uses this solvent a lot, dimethylformamide, DMF, for mixing instead of the typically used NMP in lithium ion. And the drying is done at 60C instead of higher temperatures used in lithium ion, because sulfur sublimes quite easily. Interestingly, however, the current collector is not aluminum. It is a carbon paper, which has a rough surface and consists of microfibers. So my commentary here is that this type of current collector sort of improves the results, because you have additional trapping of polysulfides and sulfur inside the current collectors, as opposed to more realistic current collectors such as aluminum or metallic current collectors. The reason why these carbon-based carbon fibers current collectors are not used in commercial cells is because they are thick, and also they are permeable to liquid electrolytes, and you cannot establish hermeticity between by comparison. Aluminum or copper current collectors cells are less than 10 microns. I think they're pushing 6 microns, and they are completely impermeable to electrolytes. So with these materials at a typical sulfur electrolyte, which is 1 molar lithium TFSI with 2% lithium nitrate in DME DOL 1:1 mixture, the battery is charged and discharged. And for high loading of 9.3 milligram per centimeter squared of sulfur, the equivalent is about 6 milliamp hour per centimeter squared, which is impressive for capacity, because batteries typically energy cells have an aerial capacity of about 3.5 milliamp hour per centimeter squared. So this is double that. However, you have to keep in mind that the lithium sulfur battery has a voltage of 2 volts as opposed to 3.65 volts for graphite NCM. And there are 100 cycles reported here with a lithium metal anode. The problem here is, of course, that in this type of academic reports, there's always is a large excess of lithium metal on the anode, which is would not be present in a commercial cell due to energy density constraints. So you can get away with lower Coulombic efficiencies because you have excess lithium. For commercial cells, for something like 1,000 cycles, you need a Coulombic efficiency of 99.99x. So higher than that, whereas in academic papers you often see hundreds of cycles with the Coulomb efficiencies below 95%, which is absolutely impossible. But to give you an idea, 6 milliamp hour per centimeter squared is the aerial capacity. The big problem for lithium sulfur cells, of course, in this paper still here, is the large volume of electrolyte required. Commercial cells have about, lithium ion cells have about 10 microliters per centimeter squared in volume. In this paper, you have something like above 60 microliters per centimeter squared So if you take the 900 milliamp hour per gram and you get rid of the take into account the losses due to the active material ratio and the sulfur ratio, you get down from 900, which is what she gets on the first cycle, to about 550 milliamp hour per gram of cathode. And then if you take into account the difference in voltage, where the sulfur battery operates at 2 volts as opposed to 3.6, you are down to about 300 milliamp hour per gram. And then if you take into account the fact that you have 5 or 6 times more electrolyte than commercial cells, you're down way below 100 milliamp hour per gram. So in terms of the approach is a very nice idea, but in terms of performance, of course, it is not up to par with commercial cells in any way, which is not required for academic papers. The importance here is the new idea, which I think is a great idea for MgB2, for these magnesium borides, because they're light materials and they have good interaction with polysulfides. It's important to note that there are commercial companies that have been working on lithium sulfur batteries for more than a decade. Sion Power is one, Oxis Energy is another, and they both have commercial cells with more than 400 watt hour per kilogram that they sell. Cycle life is a problem, around 100 cycles or for these high energy density cells with sulfur, mainly due to the dissolution of polysulfides. So I'm going to stop here for now. We'll discuss a different paper in the future.